WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.
Hi everyone, welcome at WaveAct. Today with John Kellyan, who is serial entrepreneur and is currently the CEO of Riddle and Code. He's also co-founder of the newly founded RDDL or Riddle Foundation, if I am thinking of it right. Awesome. And he's also the board member of IPDB and advisor at Tritium. And today we talk about a super exciting topic. At least I'm very excited and I hope you too. And it's about tokenizing machines. The what, why, and how. Thank you, John, for being here. Really excited for this session. And yeah, starting out, I would like to give you the opportunity to let us know whatever you want. What are you working on? Anything I missed maybe from the introduction as well. And yeah, as mentioned before, if I pronounced your surname incorrectly, let me know.
It's no problem at all. Thank you for having me. And yes, Kellyan is correct. Like
staff, awesome.
As I told you earlier. So thank you for having me on your podcast and give me an opportunity to talk about tokenizing machines, or as we say, turning industrial machines into NFTs, which is a very cool, very ambitious concept and a really big project we're working on at Riddle and Code and the Riddle Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your first question, like a little bit about me.
Whatever you want.
Lifelong entrepreneur, lifelong software person. Most of my career was in Seattle in America. And I moved to Germany a little over 5 years ago to take a position with Deutsche Telekom, leading their research and development. I've always been fascinated with new technology and where it crosses new business models. This is always an area of innovation, an area of entrepreneurship, and a chance to break rules and try new things.
Yeah, so it definitely,
No, it's okay. This is always an area that interests me. I enjoy stepping outside of the status quo and pushing things by nature. And entrepreneurship is a great place to take that energy.
Yeah, it definitely allows you to be super creative in every aspect you want to be. And yeah, so no wonder that you actually, if I understood it correctly, and if I grasp your concept at Riddle and Code the right way, you're actually trying to combine the Internet of Things with blockchain technology where it makes sense, right?
Yeah, that definitely starts the conversation. I tend not to use IoT or Internet of Things as much in our vocabulary. I tend to talk about industrial machines. You could nitpick with me and say, yes, John, but that is an internet-connected thing. True, it is. But just to distinguish it from very small sensors or, you know, very trivial uses of IoT. But at essence here is utilizing all the attributes of blockchain or decentralized technology. And this is one of many technologies that I've embraced over my career. In the very beginning, at the beginning of the internet, when we were all teaching ourselves to create web pages, I jumped into e-commerce. That was one of the first big technologies that I jumped into at the very beginning. Next up for me was into mobile technology, creating app stores before there were smartphones. And then after that, it was getting into mobile money. You know, the concept of digitizing fiat currency and transferring that fiat value between mobile phones. And so most recently, it's been blockchain. So about 7 years ago, I got hooked on decentralization. And I have always been thinking about how can large enterprises or industries use blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's led me to today. I joined Riddle and Code a little over a year ago as the CEO, and we've spent the last year doing two things. Transforming the company, really, from doing R&D project work for large companies, which was significant, by the way, because we tested out so many different ways to take machines and attach them to blockchains. for a variety of reasons. But we now have a very strong focused strategy on how to do that. And the second big thing is launching the Riddle Network, which is a very unique machine-based protocol, a blockchain protocol. Mm-hmm. And this is the essence of what we've been working on. All of this, though, is in an effort to bring Web3, or as we call it now, Web3, to bring blockchain technology to the energy, to sustainable energy fields. And this is what we really care about and I love talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that sense, tell us more about the strategy that you are currently thinking of as the most suitable to actually tokenize machines, and how that can contribute, for example, to make things much more energy efficient, as you just stated.
Yeah, so it starts with the idea of how can all of us as individuals contribute to a greener world, a world where sustainable energy systems are the majority of the energy systems rather than the minority. What forces all of us as people or as companies to make this shift happen? And generally, people change their habits when they're incentivized, primarily by financial incentivization and also by convenience, right? It's rare that people will change fundamental habits if it's just through altruism, if you're doing it just to be a good person. And I intentionally use the word habit. We can all be good people here and there. We can all make some individual choices towards a more sustainable world, whether we do a little recycling, or we use a reusable battery, or maybe we've gotten a Tesla instead of a BMW or whatever. But how do we build habits? How do we really all bring change about? And so here you have a technology that by its very nature, blockchain, with the creation of cryptocurrencies and tokens, you have a built-in incentivization with financing, right? You can financially incentivize people to change their habits, and you can do it conveniently and efficiently, right? You can drop tokens into somebody's digital wallet if they perform a behavior, right? By that same nature, you can influence how a machine behaves, and a machine can earn tokens by doing certain behaviors, right?
Okay, now I'm curious, why should, and that's definitely a question I would say the majority of the audience has now, why should the machine earn tokens? What does it do with it?
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, an arena here of sustainable energy systems. We want to help move people towards that faster, and incentivizing people's behavior through tokenization is at the heart of what we're doing. If we get more technical about it, and when we say machine, we're talking about solar power plants, wind turbines, the transmission of energy over cable, the storage of energy in large-scale battery systems, whether it's an electric vehicle, you know, that has banks of lithium-ion batteries or whatnot, or even massive battery backup systems that hospitals and factories use. These are storing energy, right? And then all the way down to the long tail of consumer devices where we consume energy or even store and generate ourselves. All of this is about the energy communities that exist today, their efficiencies, and the ability to change them to use sustainable energy sources, but also to affect our behavior on how we operate with energy. Could you be incentivized to turn off the power on your refrigerator every day? Could you be incentivized to do your clothing, your laundry at a different time? What if we dropped tokens into your digital wallet to do your laundry only on Monday nights? Would you change your behavior? Because that change in behavior could make an overall energy grid more stable, more efficient. It could potentially burn less fossil fuel, right? And burning less fossil fuels is contributing towards a more sustainable world. So there's a big value chain here, right? And at the beginning, we start with the creation of energy. So a solar power park. We have invented a hardware wallet that you can attach to a solar power park, essentially. A solar power park can then tokenize its future electrical output. In this case, a kilowatt hour equals a token,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have now tokenized solar power. Why? So we'll address the why for a moment. For instance, a large company could pre-purchase solar power through a token, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they can do different things with that token, right? They could sell it, they could swap it, they could hold it, they could turn it in to use that energy one day, etc. And how it's done, right? The data coming out of a solar park is stored as metadata in our unique protocol, and hence you can prove that this electricity was created. It was created at this solar power park, and it's immutable, it's transparent, et cetera, et cetera. And hence can be tokenized, right? So this is just one way to start bootstrapping the incentivization of tokenizing energy in this case.
Well, I am now super curious because I'm coming, when I started my, let's say, entrepreneurial story, journey, I was in the smart city sector. And what I got to know is that it's really hard to almost impossible to evaluate where in your household you actually spend energy on, right? If you turn off your wash machine or refrigerator or whatsoever, then you maybe, if at all, know that this single flat spent that much energy. And based on that, my follow-up question, basically, my first question would be, how do you plan to incentivize that specifically? Or is that just something you want to, let's say, you saved X amount of kilowatts. Awesome. That's cool. How you did it, we don't care, but you did it. And secondly, what do you think about, let's say, measurements that could actually exploit that that's an incentivization structure. Basically, if I turn off my refrigerator, it might save energy now, but if I need to turn it on one day later, heating other cooling it off, cooling it down from X amount of degrees, that might consume more energy if you just let it turn on, for example. What are your, and I know that's a big question now, but what are your thoughts on that? Okay.
Thank you for asking. It's absolutely something we think about. This plays into this concept of everybody contributing into an energy community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was just referencing a use case around industrial solar power production, right? And just to quickly finish that, a lot of companies prepay for their energy. And now we have a way for them to prepay specifically for green energy at a solar power park. This is a business model case, mm-hmm. right? The solar power generation company can pre-sell their energy and they can stamp it as green certified and they can probably charge a little bit more. Two, you can start involving carbon credit offset into this business model.
Mm-hmm.
And three, there's also a lot of tax incentives to prove you're using green energy. So sure. There is a business model that works today at scale for large energy production companies and those who buy energy. So this isn't theoretical, by the way, and everything I'm talking about actually works. We've proven it in pilots, and we're marching in that direction with enterprises, including the transmission and distribution of energy as well. What you just referenced is what I call the long tail,
mm-hmm.
right? One of the other efforts we're going to be doing between Riddle & Code and the Riddle Network and its community is starting to experiment with incentivizing individuals such as yourself. So we're going to start handing out hardware developer kits so that hackers around Europe can start inventing new ways to contribute to the overall sustainable energy community. So you, for instance, could get a kit and we will send you a hardware wallet, we'll send you a power meter and some other connectors. You could connect, let's say, your Samsung or I don't know what brand you use, Lipier, refrigerator to our network, right? It's actually kind of a simple thing to do, but you could then let someone else remotely turn the power on and off to your refrigerator.
Okay.
Imagine, and so one thing most people don't know is that modern refrigerators, they don't need energy 24/7, but that's how they're built. You could actually shut down your like unplug the power of your refrigerator when you go to bed and plug it in every morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that the temperature would not decrease within your refrigerator. They're built in a way to be sustainable in the temperature that they hold. But creating a habit of unplugging and plugging your refrigerator, that won't work. Nobody will do that, right? Only the most hardcore person. But what if you were essentially turning your refrigerator into a smart device, adding it to our network, and then you could have proof that your local electric company was the one turning on and off. They could measure the electricity going into it and being consumed, and maybe they now incentivize you with a token to allow them to do this. So you don't lose anything on the refrigeration level, but you gain a little bit of incentive to let them control the power in or out. And if they did that at scale, like let's say in the city of Vienna, they have 2 million customers. If they were turning the power on and off of 2 million refrigerators every day, now you're start at scale affecting how much fossil fuels are being burned to do that, and you're reducing it. That's pretty cool.
That's indeed very cool. I have a tons of questions now, and I want to reduce them to one or two, if possible. Basically, one of the first questions I would have is, what about, let's say, why don't the manufacturers do that already themselves? Because they would have the incentivization to make the refrigerator as energy efficient as possible. Because there are already these ratings A++, A+, and so on. And if they are able to get into a higher ranking because of that, then that would be, let's say, a selling or buying argument, basically, for the consumer. So why don't they do that already?
I don't know for certain. My guess would be, though, that the machines, the refrigerator in this case, would be more expensive because now you have to add, you know, hardware and software components to manage the power turning on or off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something simple. I don't know. And okay. By the way, Kevin, there's a lot I don't know. Right?
Hey, no worries. Just a casual.
You push yourself into a marketplace with a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
It may be that some modern refrigerators do indeed turn themselves on and off at times, right? It's something for me to explore. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, it's not prevalent. And I think, you know, refrigerator manufacturers of like cars or any kind of commodity, let's say, there's different price points, right?
Mm-hmm.
It may be that your 5,000 euro high-end refrigerator has an energy management system that is very sophisticated, but there's only a very small segment of people who can afford that. And is the 5,000 euro purchase price worth the energy efficiency you get over many years of its lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the 500 euro refrigerator that just does the job, you know.
Yeah.
And so maybe the manufacturer itself might not be incentivized to offer this type of capability. Again, I'm not certain. I'm speculating. And it's a good question, though. It's a good question. Something that I'm taking notes here to think about.
Really, no worries. I'm just discussing as well, you know, just dropping my own thoughts here. But really interesting. Okay, then let's not dive deeper into the refrigerator thing itself when it's a long, long tail, as you said. But what I would be curious now, we talked a lot about tokens, right? One token is X kilowatt, for example. And you also talked about NFTs before. Can you tell us on a very high level on how your protocol in general works? Because I don't know yet, is it a separate blockchain? Are you on some public blockchain? How is the really high level overview? Just
yes.
Yeah.
Sure. On the technical side, the Riddle network is a bit of a mix of layer two protocols, and I would call it a layer two protocol itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, our system is a settlement on Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is a settlement layer for our blockchain, which is quite unique. Mm-hmm. We will launch an incentive token, a commodity token, on Liquid, a side chain of Bitcoin. And then our stack itself is a mixture of a very unique blockchain called Planet Mint, which was once known as BigChain DB, invented here in Berlin. It's a blockchain invented to store a highly scalable amount of metadata. So it's uniquely viable for millions of machines storing their metadata to prove their productivity. And then it's combined with quite a bit of Cosmos technology. So ultimately, our protocol will be both settled on Bitcoin, but participate in the Cosmos Hub arena. Mm-hmm. We will use Tendermint as the core validation system for our consensus. And then we'll be using the Cosmos SDK for staking at some point too. So it's a bit of a mix of what we consider to be best of breed technologies for settlement, because with Bitcoin, we feel it's the most beautiful way to transact value. Mm-hmm. We're kind of Bitcoin people ourselves, by the way. it's nothing against the Ethereum world. EVM is a great technology, but we wanted something cleaner. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't need to debate with you between the different worlds, but yeah. We think Bitcoin is, the place to be. Put it that way. Mm-hmm. So, on the token side, again, Riddle token will be launched on Liquid, which is a sidechain of Bitcoin, and our token is for incentives and governance and utility. Side note: we are launching our foundation in Liechtenstein. It's now registered there. And we have been given approval by the financial authorities in Liechtenstein that our token will not be a security. So they have given us a ruling just this last week, which is quite exciting. Mm-hmm. We are a commodity token or utility token, which is great news.
Congrats.
So our token is needed to use the protocol. You will pay very, very, very small fees to store metadata, add machines to our network, and for some other uses. And of course, it also will be a token that will be speculated on. It'll be free floating in value, and over time should increase in value as more and more machines are added to our protocol and make it useful. The next step is, once a machine is added to the network, they can then create their own asset token, also using the Liquid network to create this token. But this is where you can bootstrap as many microeconomies as you'd like to, or token economies. So a solar power park owned by VN Energy in Austria, they can create their own token valued at a kilowatt hour, or however they choose. Mm-hmm. They can issue 1, 1 million, 10 billion, whatever they like. It's very flexible. And these asset tokens, these are the tokens we talk about that will be creating the economies. They're swappable with each other. They're swappable with Bitcoin. They're easily swappable on-ramp and off-ramp with fiat. It's quite complex and interesting, but there's no exchange needed here, by the way, which is kind of cool too. So hopefully I'm giving you a flavor of the technology we're choosing mm-hmm. to build our protocol, why it's important. And to finish it off, because I've stated now that we're kind of Bitcoin people, or we are, there will be 2.1 billion tokens of Riddle created over time, over 35 years. It's more in the deflationary camp when it mm-hmm. comes to the economic side of things. But 2.1 billion, of course, is a two decimal place move from Bitcoin's 21 million. Mm-hmm. And these tokens makes are sense. Important because you will need them in order to add machines and pay the small fees to do different things on the Riddle network, etc.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for the explanation. Just a quick question, how would the onboarding work, right? Is that just something that people would, let's say, get paid for in tokens? Hey, if you do that, awesome for adding a new machine, or are there some people that will be running around, or what are the current thought models behind that?
I hope there are some people running around, but mostly sitting in front of computers.
Okay.
Joking aside, essentially, you need to have a hardware wallet to join our protocol. This is the very unique thing we're doing. There are other protocols that are focused on sustainable energy or energy in general. There are other protocols fixated in IoT, like IOTA, based here in Germany. But as of today, there are no protocols like ours that uniquely require a piece of hardware, a hardware wallet. If you're not familiar with the concept, you know, in order to hold any type of token, you need to have a wallet. Most people have a software-based wallet sitting on their phone, their desktop, or potentially just use one in an exchange to hold their tokens. But ultimately, everything revolves around hardware. We have intellectual property uniquely created for our hardware wallets. We are not a hardware company. We will not manufacture at scale and distribute hardware. Rather, we will open source and make it freely available for anybody to use our intellectual property, for anyone to create their own hardware wallets. We will distribute some in the early days to get things going, but you need a hardware wallet in order to attach a machine to a protocol. And there's a very small fee of Riddle that you have to pay to do so. And we will give people the means to have some Riddle ahead of time, of course. There shouldn't be any chicken and egg problem here, but that's one of the things you'll need to do, besides having the hardware wallet, to get a little bit of Riddle to test your machine towards the protocol and then start using its services.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably a good time to explain our consensus mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So what we've invented is called proof of productivity. The whole essence of our protocol is a set of machines proving that they're productive. And every machine is unique. Every machine has unique signals, the data that they create, right? So you can prove that you're using energy. You can prove the metadata you're creating. And every 2 minutes, one machine challenges another and says, hey, are you productive? Prove these things. And if you can't prove it, we kick you off the network. But assuming you can prove it, that's when tokens are created or the mining takes place. Proof of productivity. And this is what generates 35 years worth of token creation. The incentive is now built in, and economies can start growing from here.
I see strong, strong parallels to the Helium network here. Proof of courage and so on, yeah?
Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. I have held in my hands a couple of years ago one of Riddle & Co.'s hardware wallets in my hand. I guess it just was a prototype at that time. What makes your hardware wallets special, or why do you actually need a separate hardware wallet for that? What were the thoughts behind that?
Sure. Well, there has to be certain, you know, software embedded into the hardware that allows you to properly connect to our protocol. I mean, this is required so that not anybody can come take value out of our protocol without participating in mm-hmm. the incentive mechanism, right? I hope that's clear. On the other side of it, though, we are choosing a roadmap of hardware choices that are very generic and very inexpensive. So as long as you follow our patterns through intellectual property, you can go take off-the-shelf hardware components and put together your own hardware wallets, but you'll need to install our software into the hardware in order to participate and join. What's unique is just choosing the right configurations, making things as small as possible, for instance, and just ensuring that there's a quality to the software that's on the hardware.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it definitely makes sense. Yeah, we have discussed now a lot about how it works and a lot of technical things as well. Sorry for the maybe less technical audience today. Let's jump or talk a little bit about where you're at right now. Like, you said you want to launch in January, if or start next year somewhat are rolling out in some kind of way. Are there already companies lining up or using your technology, or what's the roadmap or the journey that you are going on?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So let's distinguish and be clear here. Riddle & Code is a corporation based out of Vienna with employees around Europe. We are a for-profit company. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Riddle Foundation, a charitable foundation that is the governing body for the Riddle Network, right? So Riddle & Code is a little bit like Red Hat, and we think of the Riddle Network as Linux, right? So Riddle & Code, yes, we have a long history of working with large companies, and we will continue to. But now we are focused on providing products and services that enable companies and all of their machines to build Web3-based applications. So Riddle & Code is going to have software as a service platform to make it super easy for a developer to build on Web3 and on the Riddle Network in particular. Mm-hmm. We will also have very sophisticated applications, off-the-shelf applications for enterprises and the Mittelstand to use for their specific use cases. The Riddle Foundation, we will be building community and, you know, improving the software stack over time, like any other well-known blockchain-based project, right? So we have the two things, and they should be, and by intention, are in harmony, right? What's a little bit different now with Riddle & Code, not only are we producing a platform for developers, and we're going to have applications for enterprises, but we're also going to be building community, right? So we have top-down, typical approach of a company, let's go find some big customers, but now we're going to organically grow from the bottom community. We will be doing everything we can to grow a community of developers and to support them. I might even say the most important mission that Riddle & Code is on is to take a leadership position in the developer community. How do we take Web3 technology into the industries that we care about? And that's what we're doing.
Okay, that sounds exciting. So NFT collection around the corner, or are you going to be a token community?
Fair enough. I mean, technically, every machine added to our protocol becomes an NFT, a non-fungible token. Mm-hmm. But I think you know, and some of the other folks listening here know, that means that you now have an immutable identity, right? And you can take the NFT and then kind of make it fungible, right? By creating your own asset tokens. Mm-hmm. But an NFT is really about identity, proving who you are, proving you're productive, and all of it is based on math, right? Not just good intentions.
I see. Okay, exciting. Yeah, my, I would say, almost last question, if that's okay for you, John, would be what kind of, let's say, obstacles or issues, challenges do you still have and want to overcome short, midterm, or even long term?
Well, number one would be we're fundraising. So the obstacle is to make it through this crypto winter and quite negative macroeconomic conditions and still raise money to keep the adventure going. We've had to adjust quite a few things over the last year in order to keep the fundraising positive, which it is, by the way. Thankfully, we have started building up a nice list of partners who believe in us and share our conviction towards a tokenized world. We are fundraising on our token. We are openly seeking investors to participate in a pre-launch token sale. And of course, on the Riddle & Code side, we're a fairly typical software startup. We need a combination of revenues in these early days, but fundraising through an equity sale. So the obstacle there is to fight through the noise of things like FTX falling apart and the fraud going on there, to, you know, what's inflation doing and fiat currency prices are weakening against the dollar, etc. But the cool part is that it's always a great time for companies with real conviction, companies that have projects that are really legitimate and unique, to be able to shine through these periods. What I appreciate about it is being able to do more with less. I think most startups need to do that. Though a lot of blockchain projects received a lot of funding, I don't know if that was necessarily a good thing. I think we now have evidence that it wasn't always, that so much money flowing into projects actually created a lot of corruption. Not great for us, but but nonetheless, here we are, we're standing, we're strong, and we have a great runway ahead of us. Otherwise, you know, it's education. Why does tokenization matter? I would say the absolute minority of people have had the light bulb go off on how economies can shift, right? Mm-hmm. And what is how do cryptocurrencies take a role in economy shifting? We think a lot about you know, central bank digital currencies. How do they play into this? They want to talk to us and learn what we're doing. If industry is shifting to cryptocurrencies, are the banks shifting? Are they really ready to shift? Are the central banks ready? Are the economic policy advisors ready? Most of them say no. You read far more negative stories about crypto or tokens than you do positive ones. So, you know, besides the fraud going on in that side of the macro environment, the policymakers still frowning upon it and fighting us, you know, those are definitely some larger scale obstacles. You know, and then on the micro side, it's running a startup. Keeping people motivated, it's fighting day in and day out against the status quo, but normal things that I've gone through in my career, so very manageable, and for me exciting actually.
Awesome, love it. Yeah, then I would say just one last question: why does tokenization matter? In short, for everyone watching this.
For me, it's about democratizing value transfer, really. If you want to reach out to me at any time, we can get to the philosophical side. I mean, in a very big way, blockchain is about democracy. Democracy at its core should include transparency, for instance. And we now have a technology that somehow allows for some privacy and encryption, but in the same time, total transparency. And I think it's amazing. You can bring transparency to voting, to how governments spend our tax dollars, to how companies interact with each other. We can now use blockchain to democratize all types of peer-to-peer interactions. So democracy is what I would leave you with.
Awesome. I already feel the Bitcoin vibes here. So yeah, thanks John for taking the time. Really, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And yeah, wish you all the best with Riddle and Code and your other, let's say, projects, companies, whatever you have ongoing right now. And yeah, if there's anything we can do for you, let us know.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on, Kevin. I really appreciate it. Thanks to the audience who listens. You can find me online quite easily. Find me on LinkedIn, on Telegram, on Twitter. Happy to have any conversations about this at any time. So thank you very much.
I will put all links into the video description as well. So
excellent.
Awesome.
That's great.
WaveAct, the web-free software company that understands what you want.